Hi.
Hello.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books, but does not know where to start. I realized I didn't read the full tagline the last time we recorded. or say the
full tagline. How will the people know?
Yeah, they wouldn't know. That it's the place to be. This is episode 170.
Wow.
And
kind of crazy.
Number two for me in Spain and España. It's also October now, the height of spooky season.
Yeah. Does it feel like fall in Spain?
As of 2 days ago, yes. I'll talk about that in a second. Yeah, that'll make up the content of my What's New segment. But since it is October, we're coming at you with our usual eclectic October programming of horror adjacent movies that are usually a little bit out there.
That's true.
And this was no exception. We watched Phantom of the Paradise, directed by Brian De Palma.
A wild, wild ride.
Yeah, it truly was a horror comedy rock opera.
Yeah, as they say.
Is how I'd put it. So we'll be talking about that in a second, among some other things. But before we get into that, how is your week, or I guess couple of weeks, Ben?
My couple of weeks have been great in general. Uh-huh. I don't know. I don't think I've told you about going to Rhode Island, right?
No, I have not yet heard about Rhode Island.
That was definitely the highlight of my last couple of weeks. Adam and I went to New England to visit our friends who live there. So we got to go to Boston and Salem and a couple different islands of Rhode Island. And it was all so cool. It's just perfect there in the fall. Like everything was very orange and foggy, and there's like a lot of graveyards everywhere, and everything's old and scary. And especially in Salem, Massachusetts is seriously like real life Halloween town. Like the streets are just so busy with people who are dressed in spooky costumes, and like every little store and restaurant and everything is like witchcraft themed, nice. Which is kind of cool. But then like you go into these museums and these more like historical places, and it's like, here's like the list, all the names of the women who were like horribly executed publicly for no good reason because they were innocent. And then you walk back out and you're kind of shaken up and everybody is wearing a hocus pocus suit. That was a little weird, a little jarring, but yeah, it was like a perfect fall trip. And Boston also is just a very cool place. So that was great. Real highlight. This week specifically nice. Has been insane. I have so much to do. This week has made me feel more like a grad student than maybe any other week in my history of being a grad student so far. But I turned in the first like full final draft of my thesis, my master's thesis earlier this week, which was so in just a couple weeks, if all goes according to plan, I'll have a master's degree. It's very exciting.
That's insane. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. How has your couple weeks been?
What an exciting time.
It really is.
I'm working so much less hard than you in life in general.
Everybody goes through periods.
It's
like
kind of insane how little I have to do for this job.
I'm so happy for you.
I shouldn't say little. It's it takes up a good amount of time, to be honest, like just between the commute and sitting around between classes. But my actual work week is 16 hours. But it amounts.
That is so nice.
Yeah, I mean, I add on my online tutoring, which I've been able to do a lot of. And then also I'm just at the school for a good amount because the way that they break up my schedule has a lot of dead time. So it's like 16 hours of actually in class, but more time out of my day. Like I am doing full days.
Yeah, totally.
But just as far as like the effort that I put into things is like a little bit lacking. And I kind of wish I've been trying to look for ways to like devote my energy and work hard at something, because otherwise I won't really feel that fulfilled. So I've caught back up to some projects that I had dropped I first got here. And I've been watching more movies, which I'm really excited about.
Yeah.
And like writing about them too, as I watch. So that's nice. Exciting. But it's actually fall here now, as of like Tuesday, I think the temperature dropped and below 20 degrees. I've like converted my whole brain to Celsius now. So
nice.
That would be like under 60, I guess.
Okay.
So like it's actually fall weather. And it's sinking in, and it's so nice. I love fall, and I've been missing that. And
yeah.
So now that outside is like actually reflecting that, I feel more at peace. I feel less. I'm having fall experiences. I went out walking around in nature during fall time is the pinnacle of, I don't know, of what. It's just the best.
Truly so nice. Campus right now is so stunningly beautiful with all the trees and everything, and like walking to and from classes, listening to the Smiths. It just makes me feel so good. I love this time of year.
Incredible. Yeah, I got my first like real fall walk through the big park here, the Parque Retiro, which is like near where I live. It's super easy walk, and it's just you can just go. And it was such nice fall weather, magical experience. I'm so happy about that sort of thing that I can now do. Today was really rainy, which is fun until it wasn't. But I just love rainy weather in general. So that was super nice. And there's a festival in my neighborhood that started today. I didn't go today because it was rainy.
Mm-hmm.
But it's called Tapa Pies. So I live in a neighborhood called Lavapies. And so for two weekends of the year, they have all their restaurants, or a lot of the restaurants in this area, have a tapas competition. And it's a sponsored event. So you go to each place and you pay, I think it's like €3 for a drink and a tapa. And then at the end, everyone votes online and a certain place will win.
That sounds so fun.
Yes, I'm really excited. I don't know exactly like the inner workings of all of it, but I'm excited to experience that. It's this weekend and next weekend, so I'm going to try to go do that for some time.
I can't wait to hear about it.
Yeah, it should be cool. There was a couple things I didn't mention last week that I need to say before we move on.
Mm-hmm.
First of all, our mailbag. Oh, I guess I didn't check it, but our mailbag is still open, so please to interact with us. I think I don't know if we like necessarily picked up new listeners since our absence, our prolonged absence, but for anyone that may be new here, you can interact with us through our mailbag. Yeah, no new submissions for today, which is going to be, the link is in every episode description, at least the more recent ones. And it's also where our website is listed, because we don't have an actual website. And just to interact, you know, ask us questions, give us movie recs, stuff that you want to see us do on the show, movies you want us to watch, all that sort of stuff. So please interact that way. That would mean a lot. And
yes.
The second is that I'd never talked about the book that I totally read since the last time, which I never, like, I didn't write down on my list either, or like document, because I finished it the day before I left. But it was called Iberia by James Michener, which is just about all of his experiences traveling to Spain.
cool.
So he's like a pretty well-known fiction author. And I think most of his stuff, he wrote a book about Texas and about Colorado specifically. So I feel like I should read those at some point.
Yeah, you really.
But those are both like fiction works of fiction that also tie in like real life, like historical fiction, I guess is the word for that. I don't need to explain what horror historical fiction is, but both of those books are historical fiction. This one, Iberia, is an actual record, or like it's just like him talking about his own experiences in various parts of Spain. Mm-hmm. This book was an absolute tome. It was like 800 pages or so. And I spent like the whole summer just kind of reading it. And it was so interesting. So I picked up a lot about what Spain was like in the 60s when it came out. So I thought it was really painted a picture though. So it's been interesting to see what is still accurate and what isn't so. Because notably in the 60s, Francisco Franco was still in power as the dictator of Spain. And that is not the case since like 78 or so. So that's like a big difference right there. But there's just certain things that I think I've noticed are still true based on what was written there. And some things are different now. So that's been a cool thing. And I'm glad that I read it. Maybe I should have brought it with me and like reread it at the end of the year. But it's still around. So maybe I will at some point, but
yeah,
nice. I lied last episode when I said that I didn't read anything.
I'm glad you've cleared your name now.
Yeah. Also last episode, I did not watch the movie that I said that we might should watch.
Yes. The movie that I woke up early that day to watch for the podcast.
Which, was like very bizarre of me. I don't know, like,
why I know. I think it's like the first time it ever happened.
I'm not sure why I didn't at least like check in to see whether or not we were gonna like still planning on talking about it. But that movie is called Cría Cuervos.
What does that mean, by the way?
So it's something about raising crows. Oh, it's based off of a quote or like a saying or maybe even a poem. Mm-hmm. That's something about like. You raise crows and then they peck your eyes out.
Huh. That's interesting.
But this movie was filmed around the time of Franco's death or illness and death. Mm-hmm. So I think that plays in. But this is a Spanish movie from 1976 directed by Carlos Suara, which focuses on a group of three sisters whose dad dies. Mm-hmm. And the week that happens, and also more than that, it's it's a little surreal might not be the word, but it plays with reality in the filmmaking a lot.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
Yeah, I loved this one. Do you want to talk about it first?
I just. Thought it was really impressive. It's really it's just very dark and kind of eerie a lot of the time. There's this one part where the middle sister, who is kind of the main character of the movie, there's a scene where she's an adult and she's reflecting on her childhood, and she says, "I don't understand when people talk about the magic and the happiness of childhood, because for me, childhood was a dark dream that seemed like it would never end." And I think that like really characterizes how the movie feels. Yeah. It's very dark. It's very odd. If it feels pretty long, but I'm not saying that as like a critique. You just really get wrapped into this very somber time for this like young kid. And that's hard. Like, I don't know. That's a really hard thing to feel, because she's just an innocent little girl who's like suffering so deeply. And it was really hard to watch, but it was also, it felt kind of, I don't know if you can kind of resonate with that. Like, if you, everyone had moments in their childhood when they were really sad, and it feels kind of nice to watch this movie and be like, yeah, you know, it wasn't all the happiest time. And that's like, that's okay. You're allowed to feel really big, bad feelings as a kid sometimes and then be all right. You know, I don't know.
Yeah. I was the thing that impressed me most about this one was that it really feels like it conveys a whole childhood.
Yeah, it does.
While at the same time takes place over the course of a week, just because mm-hmm. how playful it is with how it presents its information.
Yeah.
and the way that the daughter sees her mom and like interacts with her mom.
Right. Yeah. And how much she was forced to grow up in a very, very short time.
That's true. Yeah. So I should point out the lead actress, Anna Torrent, was also as a child actor in another very important Spanish movie called Spirit of the Beehive, which came out like 2 years ahead of time. And it's having seen that one, and I went to rewatch it, and that it was showing at a theater here that I didn't quite make it to because I didn't really like it the first time. So I want to revisit it and see.
Yeah.
But it came out like a year or two before, I think. And there are interesting parallels in some ways that I think kind of reflect the consciousness of Spain at the time, which I think is interesting because there's not as big of like, at least that I'm familiar with, as big of like the film tradition in Spain as there is in like Italy and France, that I think I've seen, you know, different movies from different periods of time and kind of have built, at least in my head, kind of a story there. And I feel like for me, I'm missing that a lot with Spain. Mm. And I want to kind of fill that out a little bit more. So I think it's interesting that two of the very important movies that came out in the 70s star the same actor as a very similar young girl having to deal with all the change happening and go through childhood while that change is happening.
That is interesting.
Which is kind of crazy. But there are also like fleeting moments of happiness here, or maybe not happiness, but like I'm just thinking specifically of the scene where they're dancing to that song,
me too.
Which I love that song and the way that it's used in this movie.
Me too. I've had that song stuck in my head since I watched it. It's so exactly. good. And like, just the way that they kind of portray this like little girl's solitude and moodiness through her sort of slumping down and putting this record player on and listening to the same song over and over. Yeah. I loved that. I think they were able to say so much about her through just doing that.
Mm-hmm.
It reminded me of me, which I liked.
Yeah.
The scene where the three sisters dance. It's so simple. It's so sweet. It's so memorable because it was so sweet.
Yeah. For me, I think that scene stands out because it's like it lingers for quite a while just on the same kind of thing. And at a certain point, it's like you wonder if it's going to go in a different direction. Like there's like almost like a dread about it. Like, is there something else is going to happen here? And it ended up like not happening. And it kind of stays as like a nice kind of fleeting, pure moment.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's something to the feeling that you get watching that scene that, I don't know, that really stuck out the most for me. But
yeah, I totally agree.
I think there's a lot of compassion in this movie and a lot of truth.
I agree.
Yeah.
It was really great. I'm really glad we watched that. I had never even heard of it, so I'm glad that you picked it up.
Me too. I'm glad we watched it, even though it didn't turn out to be our first episode with me in Spain through my own mistake, but that's all right. It worked out well. It was good to watch it. And it's actually been a little while since I've watched it now.
Yeah.
But yeah. Oh, what did you rate that one?
I think 9 out of 10.
Cool. I also gave it a 9 out of 10. I think it really sticks out to me. And I want to rewatch Spirit of the Beehive.
I kind of want to watch that too.
See if my opinions change on it.
I want to do that for a pod episode in the future. I'd be down.
Okay. Yeah. That could be pretty cool.
Yeah.
And like, I'll be looking around for more Spanish cinema that I want to do for the podcast.
Cool.
And I'll try to do more research for like how it kind of connects to history and that sort of thing.
Thanks.
So yeah, that's a little warm up, or the short preceding our feature presentation for this episode, which is a movie called Phantom of the Paradise.
extremely different.
quite a different kind of movie. but I wanted to watch this one because I heard that it's kind of wild, and we gotta keep coming with the wild October picks, because I think last year we watched Thirst and Videodrome.
Yeah, those were
fun. Maybe one other that were all like pretty out there.
Yeah. God, I Videodrome. A weird one.
So I think we gotta keep up with the kind of like weirder type stuff for our October watches. But yeah, so this came out in 1974, which is a year that we keep hitting on also. The amount of good movies that we've watched from 1974 for this podcast specifically.
What else have we watched from 1974?
In 1974, movies that came out that we've watched on the podcast, Chinatown. The Texas Chainsaw Massacre.
Our favorite.
Black Christmas.
Oh my God.
And now Phantom of the Paradise.
Wow, that is actually, that's a stacked year.
Yeah.
That we like.
That was the other one that we watched was Black Christmas last year.
Yeah.
Okay.
So good.
So yeah, this is a rock opera that kind of combines Phantom of the Opera, Faust, and a little bit of The Picture of Dorian Gray, kind of just like thrown in there.
Just at the very end,
kind of randomly.
Yeah.
But I'm really curious as to what you thought about this one, because I honestly really liked it.
I did too. I had a lot of fun watching it. And I've never seen Phantom of the Opera, and I feel like I kind of need to get the full experience of this one, because I know the gist of Phantom of the Opera, and this seems to parallel it quite a bit from what I know. So I think it'd be even more like rewarding of a watch if you know what Phantom of the Opera is all about. But regardless, I thought it was very funny, a lot of really just kind of fun commentary to watch, I guess. Like, it was important commentary, but done in such a funny, humorous way. Pretty gross and spooky sometimes. So yeah, I had a blast.
What a fun movie. I had so much fun watching this.
I did too. I had a similar type of fun as when we watched like Moulin Rouge, but this one gets like way grosser. So that's fun.
Yeah. I think this is as much Paul Williams movie as it is Brian De Palma. So Paul Williams is, do you know him?
No.
He's like a composer that flows through different stuff. He's done a lot of different stuff over his, it's like hard to place him. But he played Swan in this movie.
Oh, okay.
And he also did all the music for it.
Oh, cool.
And I think that the music is like this movie doesn't really structure as like the structure as a movie doesn't really work, like doesn't make sense.
Yeah.
But that's because it's all centered around like fun musical performance and musical moments. And I think that all the music in this is done so well. And I think well is like so catchy and also like works together so well to tell its own kind of story.
Yeah, totally.
That just makes it so fun. So I think it's as much as like Paul Williams movie as it is Brian, even though there's some really cool filmmaking stuff here too. Just the way that it centers around
the music,
the musical performances.
Yeah.
It's just so cool. I just think that it works for this one so well.
It does. Yeah. The music, the fun of the music like lends itself so well to the campiness of the humor in the story, which is great. I seem to only like musicals if they don't take themselves too seriously.
Mm.
No, because I did not like Sweeney Todd, but I did like this, and I do like Moulin Rouge.
What about you watched Singing in the Rain recently, right?
Yes, I do really like
Singing. You did like, okay. I was going to say, because
it's fun.
Everyone loves Singing in the Rain. That's something that my professor said. He said there's, and like one of the only movies that pretty much everyone agrees on is really good is Singing in the Rain.
Yeah, it is really good.
Also, Jessica Harper, the Phoenix in this one, the also known as the girl from Suspiria. That's all I knew her from. But I just thought that was crazy. I was like, that's the girl from Suspiria. And then she can sing so well. I'm pretty sure that I kind of looked into it, and that's like her singing all of the.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Her voice was amazing. I love that part where she's first introduced and she's clearly a better singer than all the women in this room. And the main guy goes, Winslow goes right up to her and is talking to her and stuff. And then she's like, I know I can sing this music better than anybody. Yeah. I was like, okay. She was funny.
Yeah, no, I think that this one excels because it's so campy and so over the top and like such a just like a fun time while still actually like saying something, still having a message. Like it didn't feel like just to be there, you know?
No, it's all about being a sellout, man. Yeah. And I actually laughed out loud so hard at the end, like, you know, not to spoil anything, except for this is a spoiler, at the end when Winslow goes to kill, what's his face? How did I just forget his name? Swan? What's that guy? Yeah, Swan. Goes to kill Swan and to like release himself from his contract. And Swan just is like, I'm under contract too. I had to pause the video to laugh out loud. I thought that was so funny.
It's like someone described it in a really funny Letterboxd comment. Mm-hmm. I don't remember, but it was like three different Faustian contracts in this movie. It's like someone who sold his soul to the devil, who sold his soul to the devil.
It's so fun.
I really liked how the car just blew up. Or that whole sequence was like really fun.
Yeah.
The split screen. But I like how the car blew up and there's no consequences of it. None of the people that were in the car died because they show up. I don't remember the name of the Juicy Fruits. They're just back right after, even though one of the guys should have been blown up.
I love that the Juicy Fruit's name keeps changing in their style. That's hilarious. Whoever came up with that, genius.
Yeah. I just like things like that are just the way that they kind of just like were able to poke fun at the music industry without ever feeling preachy or like heavy-handed. Yes. I think was actually super impressive.
I thought so too. Just remained funny the whole time.
Yeah. And just the way that it kind of like fast forwarded through the setup of like how the events kind of transpire. It just kind of literally fast forwards through it. Cause you see Winslow like running into his accident and he's just like, the way that that's edited is just like montage through it, like to get it over with almost.
I know.
That had me laughing because it was like so intentional as to like what they're like, you know, that you're watching a Phantom of the Opera adaptation. So it's like, let's move it forward. Let's do
right. The fun part. They get it. It's funny.
Yeah. I don't know. It just all worked so well together.
It did. It was so special. So original. Although, again, I'm saying that as someone who's never seen Phantom of the Opera.
Oh, I was going to say that the scene with the car and the bomb. Mm-hmm. Just like, I think it's all about like the songs and those like are really elevated. But I also think that the filmmaking and Brian De Palma's style just works really well with this.
Yeah.
Because it can be a little bit more goofy and direct. Mm-hmm. Without kind of... While just feeling like very in place, I guess, you know, like why not just have a split screen for this whole scene, this whole musical number and with the bomb and like the direct Psycho reference in the, with the shower. I guess you haven't seen Psycho, have you?
I know about that.
But you know the scene. Yeah. But Brian De Palma does really like Hitchcock and there's a lot of Hitchcocky type stuff. in his movies. And I thought that showed through in this one without really being a thriller. Because I think those little elements gave it a little bit of an edge that made it more fun, more horror themed.
Totally.
Just the moments where the Phantom just starts like screaming or laughing goes so hard in this movie, like genuinely.
I agree. And I was so grossed out by Swan the whole movie too. They did such a good job making him such like a despicable, unlikable person. Mm.
I agree, actually.
Yeah.
I thought it was interesting how they didn't show him for the longest time.
I know. I thought that too.
Because then once they do, it's like he's just a normal guy. And you still kind of get that perspective from the public doesn't ever see him at times. Right. But at other times, he just shows up.
Yeah. And he's just a scummy, gross guy.
Yeah.
At that scene where the Phantom sees him making out with Phoenix.
I was about to say, yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Ew. So gross to me.
Just the way that it keeps cutting to like the cam, like the monitor that's just pointing.
Yeah.
That's another thing that like was very prominent in this one that might have meant something, but I don't know if I quite grasped it. It's just like the cameras everywhere and like all the perspectives and like multiple perspectives of like surveillance that you get.
Mm-hmm.
It felt important, but I don't know really quite how to fit it in with.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Overall reading of this one.
But, yeah. What's like the connection between that type of like monitoring and I don't know, maybe some sort of like censorship, thievery.
Yeah.
They're always watching and they're going to steal your creative ideas.
Yeah. Because in Swan's little secret room, he had everything on tape.
Yeah.
And that's eventually what kind of happened to.
Yeah.
Yeah. My favorite song performance moment was when not the Juicy Fruits, it's whenever they were one of the ones, but when they opened the show and they did the songs I called Somebody Special Like You, where they're all with the expressionist like kiss makeup.
Yeah.
I just thought that was so cool that they just like were chopping off arms and heads and stuff.
It's so crazy. Happened in this movie.
I was like, this is such a fun performance. And I was the whole time I was like, yeah, so when the Phantom kills someone later, they'll think that it's just all part of a show. And then that it didn't really like turn into a plot moment because it was just all, I don't know. it just moved forward so quickly, like moved past it.
Yeah. Yeah.
But I think it just worked. I don't know. Like it was all for what the movie was prioritizing. It all like worked together pretty seamlessly.
I agree. I agree. I feel very similarly about this movie and like Rocky Horror Picture Show.
Mm.
They're, I don't know, the same type of like funny, but also horror kind of musical movies.
Yeah, I feel like there's like a lot of comparisons between the two.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense to me. That one does the same thing. Like the plot is really set aside to prioritize fantastic musical numbers. And I appreciate that. That's perfectly fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. I kind of want to watch this one like every Halloween now. I feel like I'll just like it more and more each time.
So I watched this on Monday or on Sunday night. Because I thought we were going to be recording on Monday and I wouldn't have time in the afternoon. And like, I was this close from just rewatching it today because I was like, I just want to see it again.
I want to see it again too. It was so fun. And it's really short too. Really easy to watch. Yeah.
Because I don't care about the plot like developing or anything. Because I feel like this could easily be like 15 minutes longer. But it would be worse if it was 15 minutes longer. Like it should be 15 minutes longer. But
the plot is not the point of this movie.
I just like really appreciate that because I think it really just works super well in this one.
Yes. If you can't get away with that, like why not try, you know?
Yeah. I found that quote that I was looking for.
Okay, let's hear it.
All right, it goes, "A man sells his soul to the devil to become a pop star in order to write a song about a man who sells his soul to the devil to become a pop star. But the devil himself has already sold his own soul to become a pop star." Or to become a pop star producer, I guess.
And that pretty much sums it up.
Yeah.
It's layered. It's complex.
It goes crazy.
It goes crazy. And it's so fun. I love it. I'm so happy that it exists and that we watched it.
Agreed.
I think I gave it an 8 out of 10.
Yeah, this one's an 8 out of 10 for me as well.
I could really see that getting higher upon rewatches in years to come.
I also agree with that.
8 if out you're of 10 a fan first of watch. Rocky Horror Picture Show, you absolutely have to watch this movie. Like, this is for you. more than most.
A bunch of people on the Letterboxd reviews are also like, this is so much better than the Rocky Horror Picture Show.
I don't know if I could take it that far, but it is
like, hold up. There's another one that was also funny.
Hold up.
Rocky Horror Picture Show without the annoying theater kid audience.
I like the theater kid audience. That's funny though.
I also gave it an 8 out of 10. For the first nice. Watch, but I think, you know, it could definitely go up as I see it more and notice maybe some more stuff about it.
Yeah, totally.
But yeah, Paul Williams is just so cool.
He is cool. This is a cool movie.
He's also in the Muppets movie. The original Muppet movie.
That's cool.
And like, when I watched it, I saw him and I was like, I know who that guy is, but I didn't really know why I knew who he was. And like that, I just think defines Paul Williams so well. Like, he's just kind of always been around. But yeah, he makes killer music. The soundtrack to this one also goes crazy. 8 out of 10. And go check it out. What a fun, it's just so fun to watch.
Very nice. It was super fun. Highly recommend. I really think it'll become kind of an October staple for me now.
Hell yeah. So it was a good pick is what I'm hearing.
Yes, it was a great pick. Thank you.
Incredible. What are we going to be watching next week?
Okay, I was thinking about it and I've narrowed it down to two main choices.
Okay.
I think we could either watch a like absolute classic horror movie that I'm embarrassed about having never seen. In the, you know, akin to having watched Texas Chainsaw Massacre a couple of years ago. Hmm. We could watch the original Carrie. I've never seen it. Have
also
you?
Also Brian De Palma.
Whoa.
Same director as this one. I have not seen it though. Huh?
Crazy. I have wanted to see it for so long. I just know that I would love it. So that's kind of top of my list. Or if we wanted to watch something eclectic and odd, I've been wanting to watch The Lure for a long time. It's a Polish movie about mermaids that eat people. It was like fairly new. The problem with The Lure is that I don't think it'll be that good. I want to watch it because I love scary mermaids and that's enough for me, but I have heard people say it's like not great. Whereas Carrie is like, yeah, that's a great movie.
One of the staples.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I think we could totally watch both. Okay. But the Lure, so I think I've said this on here before, is like, I don't really go by the average Letterboxd rating. I specifically look at what the people that I follow on Letterboxd have to say about it. Uh-huh. And that demographic is generally more positive.
Okay.
With a couple like really low ratings just in there. Like 7s, 8s, 9s, and then a 2 and a 4. So,
oh, interesting spread.
So I think it would be a fun watch. I think we could get a lot of discussion out of it at least. But
I think so too. I've been wanting to see it for a while.
And then if it works out that we can fit another episode in this month, we can do Carrie.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Because Brian De Palma 2 weeks in a row would be a little bit crazy.
That's true.
with one episode to separate them is fine though.
Okay, cool. That sounds great.
Yeah, I don't know where to watch this, but I'll find it.
The Lure? Yeah, me neither.
Oh, it's on Criterion. Wow.
Oh, perfect. Okay, great.
Sounds cool. Yeah, I'm definitely down to check it out.
Okay, awesome. Thanks.
Cool.
And I really think we like it, but I also don't have the highest expectations.
Okay. I think it'll be fun either way. It seems that any movie that's pretty separated in opinions,
right?
I think is at least very fun to talk about.
I really agree.
Cool. Yeah. So that'll be that. And as for the book club, 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea, I do want to talk real quick about my train ride every day. I read and it's like a solid 30 minutes. And that's my 30 minutes of reading that I get done. And I am tearing through books. I finished the one I was working on that I started reading for like a while. And I feel like I read the first half of it over the course of a month. And then the second half of like a week and a half.
So nice.
I'm quickly moving through the book. And so how would you feel about like the first week of November for 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea?
Yeah, I think that'd be good.
Or the first non-wrap-up week, however it works out.
Okay. Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah.
So we're going to movie wrap-up book club.
Yeah.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Sounds good to me.
Okay.
And then if the scheduling doesn't work out, we can cut out Carrie and watch it another time.
True.
A classic like that, I don't think has to be an October watch.
That's true. And I think that spooky season continues through November, personally.
Oh, yeah. We have talked about this one before.
Yeah.
We did a whole episode that was like, what is November all about?
Yeah.
That was one of the fun ones because it was like, what do we even talk about here? But we came up with some fun stuff for that.
Yeah. It did end up being really fun.
Yeah, sounds good. So that's like our little plans. Also, I was supposed to mention this during my what's new this week. So I'm going to tack it on here to the end of the episode because I'm really excited to talk about it. The Texas Rangers, my favorite baseball team, has been really bad for quite a while. They are good this year and they are making a very improbable playoff run. They've been streaky all season and they just got hot at the right time. And they're now in the champion in the American League Championship Series, which is like the second. They just got to win this and then it's the World Series, so they have to win six more games and they win the whole thing.
Whoa.
So it's super exciting. I've been watching the games when I can, but I haven't been able to this week because of the time difference. They're at like 2 a.m. every day.
Crazy.
And I've had school, but since I don't have school tomorrow, I'm gonna stay up and watch the game at 2 a.m. today, if I can. I'm going to try to anyways.
I love it.
But I'm super excited because they play the Houston Astros, so it's like a Texas bash, and I really hate the Astros. So it's like a very passionate series for me, and it's what I'm most excited about these days. Maybe not most excited about, but it's been... I kind of fall off the wagon on watching baseball a lot. It used to be like my whole life when I was in like middle school or so. But I kind of really hadn't watched anymore except keeping up with the Rangers, and they're usually like really bad. So this season when they were good, all of a sudden it just all kind of clicked together.
Yeah.
And before this season started, I knew they were going to be good, but they have exceeded expectations. And been really, really good. So now if they win the whole thing, I'll go crazy. And I'm excited to watch and be a part of it.
I'm excited for you. That's very fun.
Yeah. Probably more updates the next time we record.
Awesome. Can't wait to hear them.
But yeah, I did want to mention that before we go. So now all that is left to do for this week is to recommend an album. Do you have an album to recommend?
Yes. In my place, we have been listening to fall jazz nonstop.
Hell yeah.
You're listening to a lot of fall jazz. So I'm going to recommend the album Ella and Louis Again, which is such a cute name, by Ella Fitzgerald and Louis Armstrong. Really good fall jazz. Their version of Autumn in New York together is on this album, which I really, really, really love.
Mm. incredible.
Thank you.
So that reminded me of something else that I want. Another album. So first of all, I wanted to recommend the soundtrack to Phantom of the Paradise.
Yeah, it's really fun.
I think it's just a fun. I like listened through the album that's on Spotify of the soundtrack, and it's just fun to listen to as songs also, which is another like plus for the movie. Nice. I want to recommend a fall jazz album that I like real quick, which is this Japanese guy who plays piano, Ryo Fukui.
Cool.
And the album is called Scenery. Basically, I think this album for a while was recommended to a multitude of people, including me, through YouTube. Mm-hmm. This was like one of the, like the YouTube staples of like just it just would recommend this whole album, and that's when I first listened to it. But it's actually really good, and I've gotten into this guy's other stuff since then. I mean, it's piano like with an ensemble, but he's the band leader and he plays piano. But there's it feels very autumn coded, I guess. I'm starting to pick up this term that I hear a lot. Blank coded.
I say that a lot right now too.
But yeah, I mean, big recommend for that one. But my actual like rec is an EP by a Spanish singer called Alba Reche. And she's super cool. I discovered her through this EP because it got I don't even know how I found it, but it's called Honestamente Triste, which means honestly sad. It's a very, I don't know, kind of in your feels little EP, but apparently it doesn't have a whole lot of listens compared to her other stuff. But that's what hooked me when I listened to this first and discovered the rest of her stuff through it. Mm-hmm. So I've been listening to it like off and on for a while, but here's this week specifically, I've listened through it a couple times and I think it's really good. So
nice. Very cool.
Yeah. So that's my three different recommendations. I'm towards the end of the daily cycle. Season 9 is coming to a close, and like at the end of the season, I start to think, okay, I can repeat songs now. Like, let me listen to all sorts of music and kind of build up a catalog again. Yeah. So been listening to lots of different music stuff, and
so exciting.
I have a lot of recs. It's still about a month or two out, but I'll be giving some updates on here as we move towards season 10, which is a big milestone.
Woo! That is a big milestone. Very exciting.
Yeah. So yeah, that's what we got for this week in October. Happy spooky Spooktober. That's what we call it.
I love October. I'm having a great October so far.
Nice. Sounds good. We'll be back next week or whenever we next record with The Lure directed by Agnieszka Smuczynska, more or less.
But yeah, I'm excited. I think it should be a really fun time. At the very least, a good discussion, even if we don't like it.
Yeah, it'll be a fun time for sure. So that'll be coming next time. And thanks for listening to this one. Please put something in the post box.
Yeah.
Mail. What do we say? The mailbag. Yeah. Mailbag. there's the podcast that I listen to do a thing for Patreon, and it's called The Post Box.
Oh, nice.
But they're British. So The Mailbag. Much better.
Nice. Dude, there is so much British hate in New England. I love it so much. There are so many hats and t-shirts and things that are just dunking on the British. You'd love to see it.
Hell yeah. Our question for the mailbag this week is, what's your favorite October movie? Let us know. Read it out at the beginning of next episode. So,
yes, I'd love to hear it.
In addition to anything else you have to say in the mailbag, for the record.
Yes.
Word. All right. So we'll see you then with The Lure. Keep up the good work. Do great things this week. We both believe in you.
Yeah, we do.
And maybe, I know you said it'll be a couple weeks before your master's degree.
Yeah.
I was going to say, next time you hear from us, Addie might be the master.
Time will tell.
It'll be a little bit of time. Cool. Thanks for listening. See you later.
Thanks, everybody. Catch you next time.
Bye now.